Chapter 20. The continuous days of marching toward yet another battle were beginning to take their toll on the morale of the Allied army. Though all of their weary fighters were happy to have Queen Barathis' army join with them, especially after hearing that Lineal Dragonvane had been placed in direct command of her forces, they were acutely aware that the road ahead was still long and hard. The blood already spilled was only the beginning. The Silent Ones still awaited them. In direct contrast, Kat was feeling more hopeful since her dream experience. The camp's nightmares about her had ceased, and although she could no longer sense Ethan, knowing that she had aided his path through the heart of Lumnia did much to ease her burden. Shinzen might have stripped her of her connection, but he could not take away her growing belief Ethan was now well set to accomplish his task. The enemy was only 10 miles away, and tension was high throughout the ranks as she made her way to the command tent. She was late. Not that it mattered. Her role in the fight had already been decided. The guards snapped to attention upon her arrival, smartly opening the flap for her to pass through. Inside were the dwarf, human, and elf senior commanders, along with her father, King Halvar, Lineal, and Kira. Only the latter two took any particular notice of her entry. Halvar and her father were far too deeply involved in a heated discussion. After whispering something to Kira, Lineal moved away from the assembly to meet Kat. Bowing low, he offered her his arm.
"Come, my lady," he said. "We are not needed here, and I could use a respite from talk of battle strategy."
He grinned with boyish charm.
"To be truthful, I know almost nothing of this type of warfare anyway. Mages of my time did not often engage in the conflicts between kingdoms."
"Are you sure they don't need you?" Kat asked.
"Absolutely," he assured her. "Ours will be to rain fire and death down on our foes, not to command soldiers. We are merely a tool in this fight."
He paused.
"Unless, of course, you have knowledge on the subject. Forgive me if I assumed otherwise. But you are a mage, after all."
"No," she said, smiling up at him. "I've never studied war. But I wouldn't go so far as to call myself a mage, either. At least, not one as powerful as you."
Lineal cocked his head. "You were willing to face Illyrian, so you must be far from a beginner. What's more, did you not receive instructions from Martuk himself?"
"In a way, but not for very long. To receive even a single lesson from one so powerful is to be envied. Also, from the tales I have been told, you have well earned the title. More so than many others I have known."
"Thank you."
She looked over her shoulder. Her father and Halvar were still debating furiously, while Kira was rubbing the bridge of her nose and shaking her head.
"You're right. They don't need me," she continued. "And it would be nice to get to know Ethan's cousin better."
After leaving the tent, they walked toward the eastern end of the camp, where the bulk of the elves were readying to bed down. Kat enjoyed their songs far more than those of the humans or dwarves, and had lately got into the habit of a nightly walk among them so she could listen to their melodies.
"A strange folk, the elves," remarked Lineal.
"Why do you say that?"
"So different from us," he replied. "The way they feel the world around them, it's hard to imagine what that is like. Ethan tells me they can sense one another's presence, even feel their pain."
He frowned.
"I do not think I would want that. I have always been a solitary person. The company of others makes me often feel awkward. You don't seem to be like that now."
Lineal paused to listen to an elf playing a flute near a small fire. He shut his eyes for a moment.
"With you, how could I be? It is easy to understand why my cousin loves you."
The mention of Ethan instantly brought sadness to her heart. The fear that she would never see him again was always close to the surface.
"Do you think he'll be able to kill Shinzan?" she asked.
"Yes." His tone told Kat there was more.
"Yes, but I honestly believe Ethan can and will kill Shinzan. However,"
he smiled, then patted her hand lightly.
"Take no notice. It doesn't matter. Come, let us find some wine. You can tell me about Earth. I'm quite eager to learn. I know he thinks he won't survive, Cat said, stubbornly not allowing him to change the subject. I want to know what you think. His voice became gentle. You want hope, he began. You want someone to tell you that he will live, and that you will be together again. I would be happy to provide that comfort, but you already know the truth, and I am not that talented a liar. He reached out to wipe a tear from her cheek with his finger. What I can say is this. Were I in Ethan's place, fighting Shinzan, if any possible way of returning to you did exist, I would assuredly find it. Though I do not know him as you do, I have been told enough to know that he is possibly the greatest dragon vein ever to bear the name. If anyone can find a way, it is he. Cat looked deeply into his eyes. They seemed to be sparkling in the light of the campfire. His smile was warm and loving. In a rush of overwhelming emotion, she buried her face into his chest, weeping softly. As her breaths came in shallow little gasps, Linnell gently stroked her hair, silently allowing her to empty out her emotions upon him. After several minutes, she backed away, wiping her eyes.
I'm sorry, she said. I didn't mean to.
He held up a hand, his smile never fading. You need never apologize. As far as I'm concerned, we are family. I'm honored to be of comfort to you. He leaned in and kissed her brow. I am always at your service. She managed a fragile smile.
It's hard to imagine why the mages were so feared.
Linnell raised an eyebrow. If you had ever seen Lady Lila Nora displeased, you would find it quite easy. This drew a light-hearted laugh from both of them. And though Ethan is kind and gentle of manner, his father was very intimidating indeed. I actually have seen Lila Nora angry, Cat told him. It wasn't pretty. They strolled on for a while. Cat recounted stories of how she'd first met Ethan and Lila Nora, also of the time when she had been transported to Earth. Linnell listened with genuine interest. Eventually, they found themselves back at Halvar's command tent. Kira was sitting outside, oiling her dagger and humming softly. You two should be mindful of appearances, she said, without looking up. Tongues will start to wag, and from what I hear, Queen Barathis would be none too pleased. Cat's smile instantly turned sour. That bitch can go to hell. Linnell clicked his tongue at her. Now, Lady Katiana, you shouldn't judge the Queen harshly. She has foregone any claim to Ethan, and she was merely trying to ensure the safety of her people. Having said that, he turned his attention to Kira. As for wagging tongues, I will walk with my kin for as long and as often as I choose. Anyone who would wish to contest this can do so directly to me. Cat nodded tersely. Damn right. A wicked grin then crept upon her lips. Even so, I wouldn't mind if she got the wrong idea. You know, just for a little while. Linnell chuckled. I can see that I must be cautious the next time we are all together. A vengeful mage and a jealous queen. He feigned a shudder. Too horrible to imagine. At that moment, the tent flap opened, and King Halvar exited alongside King Eularion. Both of them looked exhausted. Eularion hugged his daughter and blew out a long breath.
I almost yearn for battle after that, he said. As do I, agreed Halvar.
Kira slipped her dagger into her belt and stood.
It might help if the two of you were not the most bull-headed beings in Lumnia.
She glanced over to Cat.
I would swear your father is part dwarf himself.
Indeed he is, Halvar remarked. But I think at the end of it, we have finally settled on a good plan.
Eularion nodded.
That said, if we are to be ready to put it into action, we should get some sleep. I may be as stubborn as a dwarf, but I certainly don't have their stamina.
They all made their way back to their respective tents. Cat was feeling unusually optimistic as she lay down on her bedroll. Unburdening her emotions to Lineal had been a salve for her heart. She had never had a brother, and with Ethan being under the enormous weight of his responsibilities, she had done her best not to trouble him more than she needed to with her insecurities. Lineal, on the other hand, was safe, like her father, but able to understand her both as a human and as a mage. This comfort eased her into a peaceful slumber. The troubles of the world and her life could wait a few hours. This time, her dreams were not of Ethan's struggle, but of his victory.